Today's episode is brought to you by The Peer Advantage, a virtual online peer advantage group for small business owners. Find out more details by going to thepeeradvantage.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the L Studio. Today's Grow Great Daily Brief number 231 for Wednesday, June the 19th, 2019. Three leadership shortages. Today, let's talk about service. So starting today, we're going to kind of get our toes in the water on three shortages that I regularly see in leadership. They are service, servitude, and stewardship. Honestly, there are many leadership shortages, but I'm just going to look at these three over the next 3 days. Now, you should know my bias. Leadership is not about position. It's about service. So let's frame up some context around here so that you can understand this. You own a business, or perhaps you are a CEO or an executive leading a team. You have a title. You have a position of authority. That's the boss element of your identity. I'm not diminishing that, but that's not what we're talking about today. Being the boss is about the position, but that's not leadership. So today, separate these two things in your mind. And then I'm going to ask you to do that again Thursday and then on Friday as we go through these three shortages, because I'm talking about leadership. I'm not talking about your authority. I'm not talking about your power. I'm not talking about your capacity to make decisions as a boss. Great bosses are also great leaders, but not all great leaders are bosses. And since you are a boss, well, it would be ideal for you to excel at both being a boss, a great boss, having authority, and being a great leader, someone who serves with a positive influence. It's a tough chore being both, but it doesn't need to be impossible. Service is aimed at helping others. It is action-oriented. That's why I picked it first. And we can sit around, we can think about stuff, we can plan, but it's infinitely more profitable to do stuff. Doing helps us figure it out. I heard Joe Rogan just last week talk about starting his stand-up comic career. And he talked about how there's only one way that he knows how to do that, how to even get into that business or succeed at it. And that's just do it. And you stink at it. And then you get better and you stink at it some more and you improve. And he pointed out there aren't any books. There's no classes. There's no coursework. You learn from watching other people. But mostly you learn by getting up there and doing it yourself. And leadership very well may work the same way. So do stuff for others. Self-serving leadership is not leadership at all. It's just selfishness. The big gap in leadership is the ability and the willingness of people to get their mind and attention off of themselves and onto others. It is a gap in the ability to recognize when people need help, when they need encouragement, when they need recognition, when they need something that you could supply, something that you could help them with. Not because it advances you, but because it advances them. That's the service that you should provide to everybody who reports to you. If you own the joint or if you're the CEO, then it should be service that you provide to everybody in the company. If not on an individual level, then through whatever hierarchy exists in your organization. Let's forego talking about why you should do this. I mean, come on. If I need to convince you why you should do this, then you're not that interested in this podcast anyway, and I am certainly not your cup of tea. So instead, let's talk about how. How do you serve? And rather than dive into the specifics, which wouldn't likely serve to help you, let's pull back and let's think more globally. Let's fly to a higher altitude so we can see the bigger picture. It's about people. Let me ask you a question. How would you characterize the problems or the opportunities or the challenges that you have experienced in life? I mean, can you possibly do that? No, not likely. I mean, because life is complicated and our problems, our challenges, our opportunities, they are all over the board. There's no way to characterize them. Well, people's personal problems aren't my area. I don't have any business going there. I've heard CEOs say that. Well, I've got a question. Is that true? Your right-hand person tells you that it appears they are headed toward a divorce and they're wrecked. What are you going to do? Are you going to tell them, listen, this is none of my business? Are you going to tell them, listen, this doesn't pertain to the company, so I would prefer not to discuss that? Really? Is that what you're going to do? If you're an uncaring jerk, you might do that, but you're not, so you won't. But what will you do? Well, you'll serve this person. Their life and this problem will become a priority for you to help them in whatever way you can. Maybe you tell them to take some time away from work and you implement a plan to spread their work around so they can step away and focus on their marriage. There are a number of things that you could do as a great leader. Lessons can be learned by looking at how pathetic bosses behave. You know, it's kind of what not to do. A right-hand person comes in, they won't tell their boss about their problem. And that's where the big, big problem really begins. They don't feel safe. They don't feel safe to confide in their boss what's happening. They come to work. They keep their head down. They try to do their work as best they can. The boss notices they really don't have their head in the game. Performance may slip, if only slightly. And the boss then grows increasingly frustrated and angry because, well, the expectations, they're not altered at all. Boss has no idea what's going on with this key person, doesn't really care either, which is why the employee never told him in the first place. But a day arrives where the boss confronts the behavior, and the employee still may or may not divulge the problem. And if he doesn't, then the pressure to perform in the face of this great adversity at home is even more intense. If he does decide to confide in the boss, well, then the pressure exists at home and the marriage, plus the pressure of now worrying, how's the boss going to respond to this news? What's the boss going to think of me if I tell them this? And it just may feel like making a bad situation at home even worse by bringing it to work. The net result may be deterioration of performance where the boss decides to demote or terminate the person. And great leadership would have likely resulted in a very different, much more positive outcome for both the employee and the boss, the great leader, and the company. I noticed his performance slipping. It started early in the week. I was in my 20s. I was in my first real number one job of running a company. Something was off. I could just tell something was off with him. And by day three, I asked that he come and see me in my office. He walks in. I ask him to close the door. I knew something was wrong, and I suspected it was personal because I didn't know of any work-related issues that might cause this behavior change. I'm a noticer. He settled in, and I ask, I know something's worrying you, and I don't want to pry, but I want you to know that I care, and I'm here to help if I'm able. And immediately, he broke down, crying. His wife had moved out. She'd taken up with a boyfriend that he never knew she had, and he didn't know what to do. And it had happened just the prior weekend. Well, I moved from behind my desk to occupy the chair beside him, and I just listened. I put my hand on his shoulder, and I told him I was sorry that he was enduring this. And we talked about it, and I let him lead the conversation, and he told me everything. And as I was listening, I was also reviewing the alternative courses of action that I could take as the boss to relieve him of work responsibility so he could focus on his life and this particular challenge and moment in his life. Well, when the clouds of emotion cleared, I asked for his permission to talk about what I could do to help him. And he readily agreed. And I said, listen, there's no reason to let this impact your career. We're going to do everything in our power together to make sure that won't happen. It won't serve your life to let things crash and burn here, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to prevent that. Well, he was understandably very appreciative. Well, we huddled and we reviewed the next couple of weeks of work. We looked at the schedule, what was on the books, and together we collaborated on what might be our best course of action so that he could step away to handle his personal affairs. There were a few days that he needed to be at work. And frankly, all through it, he was expressing a real strong desire to not miss any work. He wanted to work, but he did. He knew he needed some days to get with an attorney to figure out how to navigate this divorce. to even come to grips with his emotions, just to process what had happened to him. And so we devised a plan where he'd take the next 3 days off immediately, and then we'd huddle again. But over the next few weeks, there would be some additional time away from the office. And he didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that looked like. We just knew that we'd handle it as it came. We also agreed on how we would let the company know. And again, he was in full command of that message. I said, this is up to you. We do need to communicate something. What do you want to communicate? He decided he wanted people to know that it was a divorce, nothing more. So we communicated that. We put the plan into action. Things went fine. Different, but fine for about 3 weeks. He may have missed 6 days plus a few half days here and there. But in the end, he got through it, and so did the company. If anything, his performance went higher post-divorce. Our company proved how safe we were for him during the most troubling time of his entire life. It wasn't about the company. It was about him. It was about his situation, his problem, his challenge. Yes, we put a plan in place so the company's needs could be met, but his needs drove that, not the other way around. I can't possibly know every challenge, every problem, or every opportunity that your people face, but I know great leadership is gifted at making sure they know the people well enough to know what's going on. Or as my case proved, that something's going on and I need to find out. Without intruding, if it's personal, when you take square aim at service, putting the needs of people in the forefront, then compassion rules the day. People feel safe to share. They know you want what's best for them. All of your actions prove it, demonstrate it. Great leadership is not conditional. That is, it's ineffective if you serve people, provided you get what you want. Service doesn't have an if. You simply do what you must. It's kind of like Harold Janine. He was the crusty old tyrant who ran ITT back in the day. And he had a famous quote, "Managers must manage." Translation, you find a way. In this sense, you find a way to serve the people doing the work. You find a way to serve your people. Be well, do good, grow great. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. And Lord willing, we'll pick this up again tomorrow. See you then.